Hello there. God bless you. This is Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. I'm giving out a shout out to Melvin Slade. He's one of the baddest dudes in the world, but he's good. I hope you're enjoying your life. All the things that are going on in the world, we still know we must occupy until Jesus returns. That means to be about his business. It means to be a good soldier in his army of love. I want us to go to, if we could, to Luke chapter 21, verse 29. We're going to talk about a lesson of the fig tree. Okay, hope you're there. He says, then Jesus told them this parable. Think of the fig tree and all the other trees. Verse 30. When you see their leaves beginning to appear, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is about to come. 22. Remember that all these things will take place before the people now living have all died. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Early in the chapter, in verse 25, it talks about all these strange things that we see happening now. Catastrophic things that are happening in space. Even the things that the man is putting out there. I think Elon Musk is putting in 25 or 65 different satellites around the Earth. There's some crazy stuff going on, guys. So we got to wake up and smell the coffee and have a fig Newton while I talk to you about what's going on? What's going on in the world today? Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand and not want to turn away from the truths that are staring us right in the face. I thank you for what you're going to do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. It's for you to build up your kingdom and not my own. Amen. It says here, remember that all these things will take place before the people now living have all died. That means Christians, people who of God, will still be on earth. Jews will still be on earth when he comes back. And when these real, what we would call crazy, but things we just don't understand are happening in the world. Here in my Good News Bible, it says there's a need to watch. It's the need to watch, to walk circumspectly. That means to walk by and looking around while you are walking, because there are enemies both seen and unseen. And you don't want to fall in a ditch because you're not paying attention. We got people, they have a number of people that they said have died from looking at their cell phones and walking right in front of cars. And there's a lot of them. And they don't even tell you the statistics because they don't want you to be afraid. But brothers and sisters, watch yourselves with those cell phones. Don't walk in front of a car by trying to keep up what was going on YouTube. Okay, that was just my opinion. Thank you. 34 says this. Be careful not to let yourselves become occupied with too much feasting. That means too much eating. And drinking with the worries of this life. Or that day may suddenly catch you like a trap. For it will come upon all people. I said all. It said never use all or never. But the Bible says all. I guess God must mean it to be said this way. Because it was Jesus who said it. For it will come upon the people everywhere on earth. Wow. Is that true? Everywhere? Be on watch. And pray always that you will have the strength to go safely through all those things that will happen and to stand before the Son of Man. Son of Man is God. It's Jesus Christ in the form of a human being. Wow, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how God did it, how he was able to And birth himself? I don't know how he did it. But he's God. He can do anything except fail. And then he says here, Jesus spent those days teaching in the temple. Now this is the last week before the crucifixion. It said he was teaching in the temple. And when evening came, he would go and spend the night on the Mount of Olives. And then early the next morning, he says in 38, all the people went to the temple to listen to him. Now, if you knew that this was going to be your last week on earth, would you be working, teaching, and sleeping in the garden, and then getting up early and going back and teaching and preaching? Do you ever think about that? I know a lot of people, the first place they be going, they goes, you know, oh, I need a suite because I'm going to prison, or I'm going to jail, I'm going to this, I know I'm sick or whatever. But Jesus spent his last week trying to make it known that he came here for a purpose, and that purpose is to make sure that we knew the truth about salvation, about life, about death. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That word perish always gets me, because it means that you can die without knowledge. I think the Bible says that people perish because they have a lack of knowledge, or they don't have wisdom. And Jesus came here to give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding about how to get everlasting life, so we won't have to die twice. Not die twice, but die once. See, if we die and then are born again, we're only going to die once. But those who are born and never are born again, they will die twice. That means they will die as a human being when you come to the end of your life. And then after you are judged by the Father, you will die again. That means separated from your body and sent to a place you don't want to go. And that means to be separated means to be taken away from God. So we need to wake up and not only smell the coffee, but eat from that fig tree, get some fig Newtons, and wake up and realize God's trying to get our attention. And it says here, let's look at these verses just a little bit. It says, be careful not to let yourselves become occupied with too much feasting and drinking. Every time I turn around, there's a new food place. It's just new restaurants every day. And I see a lot of my friends, and we gather there, and we talk, and then we eat, and then we get our food, and then we go home, and then we go to the next new restaurant and meet. I'm waiting for them to pay for my food. But anyway, we need to understand that these are distractions sometimes. Sometimes there are things that get you so caught up in feasting that, you know, I'm not going to drive down to L.A. for some crabs. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm going to try. If I was going to eat them, I'd try to find some at one of these grocery stores. But I know people who drive to San Diego for fish. Then they got to drive back. Oh, Lord, y'all forgive me. I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, we live in a world that's trying to distract you. And they look in the world, it wants to make money off of you. And it wants to make sure that you participate with them in this distraction stuff that takes place, and making sure that you eat or drink too much. And people who drink too much now, that could be a problem too. And it says that all these things are done is because the worries of this life, is what it says in the King, in the Good News. The King Good News. Okay. That's verse 34. It says on that day, because if we don't, that day will catch you like a trap. It says in the Lord is trying to let us know in his book that when he comes back, will he find faith in the world? Are people going to really be looking for him? I mean, really, are people going to be trying to see if Jesus is going to return when everything is going so wild and crazy? Well, I know when I read about the life of Jeremiah, who I really patterned my life is patterned around like his. He was a reluctant preacher. He because God gave him tough verses and tough words to tell the people. And people just don't want to hear that. Today, people want to hear, you know, positive. Everything's got to be positive, or it's got to be about prosperity, or it's got to be about, you know, living your best life today. Your best life is not going to be today. Your best life will be when you see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know if I'm trying to find out if people really are seeking him so they can know that he's about love. He's about helping you to change and become the greatest human being you could ever be for him. You know, we get wisdom when we get fear, when we gain fear and become afraid. And I said, Lord, what is it? What afraid of what? They say knowledge is of God is fear is the beginning of the knowledge of God. When you fear him, that's when you start to gain knowledge and wisdom, or wisdom first. And the fear is that you don't miss your destiny, what God has planned for you. You don't want to miss what God has for you. That's why you were born. God's got a reason for you to be here. Everybody here has got a gift. When if they're born again, if they said yes to Jesus, Lord, come into my heart and save me, cover me with your blood. I've done all kind of low down nasty things and things that I've confessed to you and told you and nobody else. And you've forgiven me. And you've shown me favor. That means you've done things for me that should not have taken place. You give me grace. That's what grace is. And mercy. Lord, have mercy. I need all the above. I'm in D. What do you need? All the above. So, Lord, I thank you for that. But we're living in a world now where people don't even want to think about Jesus. And the church is getting to the point where they're not hearing and seeing. And so when he comes back, he says, will there be faith in the world? Is there going to be anybody who's believing? Is anybody going to be looking for me when I return? Wow. I'm sorry. But I guess I'm a little Jeremiah Jr. because this is a message that a lot of people just do not want to hear. And so that fig tree, that lesson that everybody's heard about, really is supposed to let us know that when you see Jerusalem and Israel in a lot of trouble, when you see Israel blooming, that means, isn't it strange? Israel's one of the most prosperous countries in the world. No bigger than New Jersey. Most of the different inventions come from there. And they have the greatest weaponry in the world. And they're prospering. I mean, they're like the 11th, don't hold me to my statistics, but like one of the most wealthy countries in the world. And it's a little bitty country. Small, infinitesimal. So I just want you to, hopefully I'm reaching somebody, because there's some people that believe they're going to heaven and they have never really asked Jesus to come into their heart and save them. You know what we're suffering from? We're suffering from something called cultural Christianity. Cultural Christianity really is about having a church that is based on tradition and sometimes entertainment. And the Lord is trying to let us know that everything is not going to be good and sweet and wonderful. There's going to be some tough times, some tough things and tough decisions that we as Christians have to make. And it's not about being having a smile on your face all the time. I don't know how I could have a face when ISIS was cutting the throats of Christians. I could not. That hurt me so bad. And there's so many today who are being killed who are Christians. So many who could not even immigrate to our country because they were Christians. So we got to wake up. We have to wake up. And I'm about ready to go out into the world now and just tell people, be an ambassador for Christ and His love. And I'm not out to judge anybody. I don't care what's going on in your life. I just want to tell you the truth about what Jesus said and what the Bible says. And then you won't have me. And then if you hear me, you'll change. If you don't, that's okay. That's your free will. That's your right to do that. But I'm compelled to have to do that. I was pastoring for 30 years, and the Lord has let me know. I want you to go out and meet all the regular people that don't go to church and tell them about me. And so I got commissioned. He commissioned me. He commissioned me. Go into the whole world, preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I like saying Holy Ghost. That might scare you right there into getting right. But the Holy Spirit, so that people will know the truth, so you don't perish because you don't know the truth. That's what God was talking about in John 3:16. There's no need for anybody to perish, or that is, go to hell and die forever. I know people not preaching this. They're preaching stuff that, well, yeah, you can have a happy marriage if you do such and such and such. Or if you do this, you'll be a success in life, such and such and such. And the blood of Christ is never even mentioned. Go next time and listen to a sermon and see how many times Jesus has talked about it. Or see, I'm serious. Go and check him out. See if he's in there anywhere. Man is not even preaching the good news anymore. And it's a shame because Christ laid his life down and he didn't even have to. He was perfect. He didn't have any crimes against him, only being a man and God himself at the same time. So we need to understand that this lesson is important for us because the kingdom of God is about to come. I said, yes, I said it. Yeah, they say, oh, he's crazy. He's been saying it for years. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I'm even more adamant about it now than I ever have been before. He's coming. And a lot of people don't want to hear it. It's probably because they're not ready. A lot of people say they love Jesus, but I don't know. So, and I'm not here to tell you. See, a lot of people in church, they're going to be saved because of God's grace and mercy. He knows we're not perfect. He knows that we fall short. He knows we make mistakes. Some of y'all cuss when y'all in Walmart. I don't mean, I gave Walmart a free anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. The dollar store. Some of y'all come for prayer. You know y'all got all kind of stuff that's in your life. But God is so merciful and loving and kind. So, what does God want us to do? He wants us to occupy this world and the things He's called us to do until He returns. That means do your best. Be your best. Be like the Syrophoenician woman. She was a woman of color. She went to Jesus, and Jesus said, told her, I can't give you nothing. What's for the dog, the things of God, to the dogs? And that was what they taught. They called Gentiles then. They called them Gentile dog. They called them dogs. And she came back with a comeback, said, hey, Lord. No, she didn't say hey, but you know what I'm saying. They said, hey, Lord, can't you, what about something, some of the crumbs for the little puppies? And that faith, faith is what impressed Christ so much. All the great acts of faith and words of faith were done by Gentiles, even a centurion, a soldier. He said, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And he then, so why is it... we can't have that kind of faith anymore. I think we believe more in doctors than we believe in Him. A lot of things we don't have is because we don't ask Him. We have not because we ask not. So we need to seek Him more and more and more. Have that faith that this does not quit. And that's what God is looking for in these days and times. He's looking for us to stand up and don't worry about being rejected. A lot of us don't want to say anything about God because we're scared people are going to talk about us. They're going to talk about you anyway. So it doesn't make any difference. Let them talk about you, speaking the word of God in love. So please, understand this lesson of the fig tree, a parable, you know, an earthly message with a heavenly meaning. God had to do that. He had to tell it like that because people got tired of him just speaking the truth straight up. So, what do I want you to do? I want you to look up and live, as the Bible says, and know he's coming back soon. I love you. Honor him daily with your lips. In Jesus' name I pray, for you and for me. Amen. God bless you.